Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, February 26th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. A water district here in the San Joaquin Valley is building a major solar energy project.
The vision down the road is that this land at some point will have solar panels for miles in each direction.
Coming up, we'll learn more about the plan to cover 200 miles of land with solar farms. But first, these headlines. A Bakersfield girl and her father were guests at President Trump's State of the Union speech on Tuesday night. KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez-Delgado reports President Trump asked Congress to pass a law in her name.
Delilah Coleman was injured when an 18-wheeler crashed into her family's car in San Bernardino 2 years ago. Her family feared she would not walk again. In Washington on Tuesday night, her father raised her up in his arms as the House chamber erupted in cheer.
Delilah, please. You are a great inspiration. Please stand up.
Authorities arrested the driver of the truck in Fresno after the crash. Partup Singh is from India. The government said he entered the country illegally, but California officials previously said Singh had valid work documents approved by the federal government that would make him eligible for a driver's license and to operate a commercial truck. The Trump administration has pushed to strip some immigrants of commercial driver's licenses, claiming many can't read or write English. President Trump asked Congress to pass Delilah's law, which would bar states from granting commercial driver's licenses to immigrants without legal status. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
The city of Fresno may temporarily use parks funding to pay for arts grants. This comes after authorities launched an embezzlement investigation into the Fresno Arts Council. A former employee is accused of stealing over $1 million from the nonprofit organization, and those funds were tax dollars that came from Measure P and are administered by the Arts Council. Our news partner Fresnoland reports that roughly 33 recipients of arts grants have yet to receive money from Measure P, which they were promised last year. Governor Gavin Newsom's book tour is getting a lot of publicity, not all of it positive. Some conservatives accuse the governor of making disparaging remarks about Black people during a conversation with Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens. Dickens, who's Black, says critics were taking the comments out of context. This while some California Democrats are criticizing Newsom's suggestion that the Democratic Party needs to be, quote, more culturally normal. California's legislative LGBTQ caucus responded that the governor's words essentially call people not normal. Newsom's new book, Young Man in a Hurry, A Memoir of Discovery, was ghostwritten by Fresno writer Mark Erics. Workers at California Card Room say they're worried about their future as new state regulations threaten to reshape the industry. The rules approved recently by the state attorney general's office restrict blackjack-style games and take effect April 1st. Amir Holmes is a dealer at Stone's Gambling Hall in the Northern California city of Citrus Heights, and he says the mood among employees is down.
So many dealers are talking about it, concerned about it. I just came in here talking about one dealer saying to me he's afraid to buy a house that he was about to go into escrow on because he doesn't know if he'll have a job in a few months.
Holmes says working at a card room is different from a tribal casino. He points to the smoke-free environment and to dealers keeping their own tips, which he says creates better customer service. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is providing $1 billion in aid for farmers who produce specialty crops and sugar. Specialty crops like citrus and almonds are not covered through other aid programs, including the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program. The USDA says these one-time payments will help address market disruptions. Specialty crop producers have until March 13th to report their 2025 acreage to the USDA's Farm Service Agency.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from the members of KVPR. Join at $8 or more per month and access ad-free NPR podcasts through NPR Plus. Give now at kvpr.org/donate.
And now to our main story. Today we're highlighting a story that recently ran on NPR. KVPR is part of the NPR network. The country's biggest solar project is moving ahead in California. If built, it'll power entire cities and millions of homes. Dan Charles reports on the farmers behind this project.
A few years ago, a company called Golden State Clean Energy got in touch with a group of farmers in the San Joaquin Valley in the heart of California. The company said, "We have a plan for gigantic solar projects on your land." And Ross Franson, one of the farmers, thought it sounded great.
I think the first time I heard it, at least from my perspective, was like, yes, we need to do this.
Because these farmers have a problem. They farm land on the west side of the valley, the dry side. They grow their almonds and pistachios and tomatoes with water that they pump from aquifers 1,000 feet underground. Also from a giant canal that the federal government built to bring in water from far away in Northern California. But the canal is delivering less water now because of droughts and competing claims on that water. And a new state law has banned overpumping from the aquifer. So the farmers have been leaving a quarter or more of their land unplanted every year.
We're farmers and we would rather farm the ground. If we had the water to do it, we would farm it. But the reality is you don't. You have to deal with the cards you're dealt.
The farmers have a central organization that manages their irrigation water, the Westlands Water District. It also owns a lot of land that can't be farmed. In December, the Westlands Board adopted the solar plan. It is so big, it's mind-boggling.
We are at American and Highway 33.
It's a foggy winter morning in the Central Valley. But Jose Gutierrez, the Assistant General Manager of Westlands Water District, can see the future.
The vision down the road is that this land at some point will have solar panels for miles in each direction.
It'll be solar for 10 miles to the north, 20 or so miles to the south. The project will cover 200 square miles. On a sunny day at noon, it'll produce 20,000 megawatts of electricity, as much as a dozen or more big power plants burning coal or gas. Huge batteries will store some of that power until it's needed most. Gutierrez says it's exactly what farmers here need.
Because of this solar, we can continue farming in Westlands.
The extra income farmers get for leasing unused land to solar companies will let them keep growing crops on the rest of their land.
It'll keep the farming community alive.
Patrick Malloy, a partner at Golden State Clean Energy, says the project has to be big to justify new multi-billion dollar power lines to carry electricity from here to Los Angeles or Silicon Valley. That cost will end up in people's electric bills eventually. But Malloy says the benefits will be even bigger.
The state needs it. It's permitted. It's the right place for it. I'm excited about this.
But there's some distrust in the small towns nearby where farm workers live, like the city of Huron, 6,000 or so people, one main street. Ray Leon is the mayor here. He's irrepressible, loves giving people little tours.
That's my neighborhood right there. That's where I grew up.
Leon says this solar deal seems great for the landowners of Westlands, but less farming means fewer jobs for workers here in Huron. Leon wants some of the solar revenue to flow to this community for education, training for jobs in this new solar industry.
We are shareholders. We've kept these communities alive, these economies robust. There's no excuse to leave us out.
Westlands and Golden State Clean Energy have been discussing what they call a community benefits package, but they haven't released any details. Katie Peterson at the Public Policy Institute of California says other farming communities in California may try to imitate what Westlands is doing because they too will have to stop pumping so much water from the ground.
There's going to be some kind of right sizing of agricultural land in the San Joaquin Valley.
She says farmers will have to stop growing crops on at least 500,000 acres. Maybe 1,000,000 acres. So there will be a lot of dry, sunny land just waiting for a solar developer. For NPR News, I'm Dan Charles in the San Joaquin Valley.
And Dan joins me now to talk about his reporting a little more. Welcome, Dan.
Nice to be here.
Okay, it seems like a lot of folks agree that these solar projects are a great way to use land that can no longer be used for farming. But why can't this land be used for farming? Just run us through some of maybe the water politics behind all of this fallowed land.
Yeah, there are basically two reasons. And, you know, the one reason I didn't really talk much about in the story, because it's, you know, it's been there for a while. But there's this huge swath of land in this part of the valley where there was this I don't know if people remember, there was a huge scandal in the 1980s where drainage water from that land was carrying selenium into a nature reservoir and poisoning birds.
Wow.
So ever since that, you know, problem with the soil and the selenium, you know, sort of toxin, that land has been fallowed. So they have this big bunch of land that they can't farm for that reason. And then the other reason is basically water scarcity, you know, so they're finding that they can't rely on a steady supply of water from the Central Valley Project, from the canal, basically. And the new thing is, you know, this new law, this Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, is coming into a force, and it's restricting the amount of water they can pump from their wells. And so they're finding that they basically don't have enough water to farm all their land. A lot of these farmers do. And so they're looking for something else to do with it.
Yeah, SGMA is something we've covered before and many folks around here are familiar with. You know, it's also interesting because that side of the valley is known for having incredible soil for farming, but no water. And so it's interesting that this state water project, that they're not able to get water out there still, even though they've built these canals to get them water because of these new rules.
You know, Westlands, this water district, is an interesting sort of creation. They came a little bit late, you know, to the water game, and they got this big project built, but they're kind of at the end of the line when it comes to water distribution. And so it's been this constant fight, you know, will we get a big allocation of water or won't we? And so, you know, that is part of the issue they're dealing with.
Sure, the irregularity. Tell us a little more about Westlands, just the area they cover and a little bit of their background and influence on agriculture here.
Well, I'm actually, you know, looking at a map here in front of me that Westlands is huge. I mean, it's 1,000 square miles. And, you know, for people who are not familiar with it, it basically runs from Fireball in the north down to, you know, more or less Huron in the south. You know, a stretch of land kind of just to the east of Interstate 5. And they were formed back in the 50s and the 60s, essentially to bring water into that area because they don't have the rivers, you know, they don't have rivers and dams and whatnot. So they got, you know, these projects built that brought in water from, you know, Northern California. And the, you know, the farmers within that area, they've been politically powerful, I would say. They've been influential. They're a big water district. And so they've played a big role in what you might call the California water wars over the years. You know, the people who were saying, bring us more water.
Okay, so what's the timeline look like right now for this big solar project? Has it broken ground yet? When will it likely be finished? What are the basics there?
It has not broken ground yet. People talk about this being built over, say, 10 years, and it's going to be broken up into individual solar farms. I mean, like, there's not going to be one developer that is going to do this whole thing. It's just way too big. What seems to me like the biggest hurdle still to be crossed is the organization that manages California's electricity grid, they have to basically say, yes, we believe that these new power lines have to be built, and sort of put those in their kind of transmission planning document so that, you know, those power lines get built to carry the electricity in and out of the Central Valley. But it could happen within a decade, I think. You know, we'll have to see. I think a lot of people are not sure about that.
Okay, something to keep an eye on. Dan Charles, thank you so much for joining me and breaking down your reporting.
Thanks for having me on.
And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden, Carrie Klein, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.